In a floating palace where gods are enslaved and power is measured in blood, 19-year-old Yin Dar receives a summons that will change her life and ultimately the world. 1 month after her mother's mysterious death, this barbarian chieftain from the matriarchal north finds herself named as an heir to the Aramari throne, alongside two cousins who view her as nothing more than an obstacle to eliminate. What seems like recognition quickly reveals itself as a death sentence. "Your mother deprived me of an heir when she left our family," her grandfather Dakarta tells her coldly. "You will pay her debt." The Aramari family rules the world through wealth, politics, and their most terrible weapon, four enslaved gods bound to obey their every command. These gods, called the Enafede, once fought against the god of light and order, Etempus, in an ancient war that reshaped reality itself. Now they serve as living weapons, forced to commit atrocities at their master's whim while wearing the faces of their captors. What makes this deadly game of succession truly terrifying is that Yin has been thrust into it with no preparation, no allies, and precious little time. As she navigates the treacherous corridors of Sky, she must uncover why her mother abandoned this place of privilege, and whether the enslaved gods might offer her a way to survive. There were once three gods. The one who matters killed one of the ones who didn't and cast the other into a hellish prison. On her first night in Sky, Yin encounters Nahadoth, the Night Lord, embodiment of chaos and darkness. When she instinctively stabs him, he looks at her with wonder and says, "I have waited so long for you," before collapsing, sparking an inexplicable connection. These gods captivate through their humanity despite immortality. Nahadoth shifts between terrifying nighttime form and subdued daytime self, experiencing a range of emotions. Si appears as a child while harboring millennia of wisdom, showing how imprisonment transforms even divine beings. The gods mark Yin with an invisible sigil that protects her from magical control. Though they threaten her against revealing their secret, she senses their desperation. They need something they could take by force, but prefer she give willingly. This uneasy alliance forms as Yin begins experiencing visions of a cosmic war that reshaped reality. Investigating her mother's past, Yine uncovers the brutal truth of Aramari succession. Heirs must convince their most cherished person to willingly die for them, transferring power through a magical stone. With multiple competitors, succession becomes a deadly game of manipulation. Her rivals present stark contrasts. Samina tortures gods, while alcoholic Relad appears defeated. Learning Samina orchestrated war against her homeland, Yine boldly uses Nahadoth's power to threaten those planning to attack her people. This political landscape reveals the essence of Aramari power, built on sacrifice, both literal and figurative. The family maintains control through willingness to destroy anything, even their own kin. Every luxury in Sky costs blood. Every peace is sustained through terror. The floating palace physically embodies their detachment from consequences. Through dreams and memories, Yine discovers her mother escaped this gilded prison after learning Dakarta killed his own mother during succession, deepening the mystery of why Dakarta would summon the daughter of the woman who betrayed him. To have me is to die. Amid deadly politics and divine machinations, Yin finds herself drawn to the Night Lord. Unlike his cold daytime self, nighttime Nahadoth is passionate, dangerous, yet compelling. During their encounters, she senses his loneliness and rage at centuries of imprisonment, glimpsing the magnificent being he once was. When Yin offers herself despite his warning, their union transcends human experience, literally destroying her bedroom. Their relationship forms the emotional core of the story, showing love's persistence even in desperate circumstances. Their connection is complicated by Nahato's past love for divine siblings Itempas and Enifa. The cosmic conflict began as a divine love triangle. Does he see Yin as herself or merely as Enifa's vessel? This romance becomes poignant because it unfolds in the shadow of certain death. For Yin, Nahato's offers comfort when she has none. For him, she represents both a reminder of lost love and something new, a mortal who sees beyond the monster. As the succession ceremony approaches, Yin learns she carries two souls, her own and murdered goddess Enifa's, explaining her resemblance to the goddess and strange visions. The enslaved gods reveal their plan. Yain's mother bargained with them, allowing her unborn child to become Enifa's vessel in exchange for curing Yain's father. The stone of earth trapped Enifa's soul, and only her children can wield her power. The Enifa Dea intend to use Yin during the succession ceremony. With Enifa's soul, she can harness the stone's power to free them before she dies. This forces Yin to confront difficult truths about her mother, who essentially sold her to the gods, though Yin might have made the same desperate choice to save someone she loved. Our identities are shaped by forces beyond our control. Yin never chose to carry a goddess within her, yet this divine presence has influenced her entire life. Will she survive as the mortal woman or the divine being struggling for rebirth? At the succession ceremony, Yin is stabbed through the heart while reaching for the Stone of Earth. Though her body dies, her consciousness witnesses Nahadoth confronting Itempas, revealing his plan to destroy Enifa's legacy. While the gods battle, Yin communes with Enifa's essence and learns she must take her place. The stone enters her body, healing her. She returns transformed, perceiving new colors and sensing the world differently. Though filled with Enifa's power, she remains herself rather than surrendering to the goddess's personality. With Nahadoth, she sentences Itempas to live as a mortal, serving humanity and using his powers only to help others until he learns to love truly. Yin transforms sky by creating a massive tree that pierces the heavens, its roots nestling the city, a physical manifestation of her new order where gods are no longer slaves and the Arameri no longer hold absolute power. Yin's transformation reshapes the world. She frees Nahato's daytime self and reunites with Si, who accepts her new form. For Mordens, she creates both opportunity and challenge, telling Dakarta the Arameri must now rely on their own resources without gods enforcing their will. When Dakarta accepts Tevril as heir, Yin mercifully heals him enough to oversee the transition, showing perspective beyond human grudges. The novel concludes with Yin embracing her existence among the three. Nahados kisses her tenderly, promising wonders beyond the universe. Yet even as a goddess, she maintains her identity, suggesting divinity expands humanity rather than erasing it. The freed gods establish a new balance of divine and mortal agency. The Arameri must now rule through conventional means rather than exploitation. True power lies in transformation, not domination. By maintaining her humanity while ascending to godhood, Yin creates divinity tempered by mortal compassion.